We're going to begin a new series today for the month of October. I'm calling Missions Possible. Missions Possible. It's going to be focusing on the Great Commission. This lesson today I'll entitle the Jesus List, and before we're done, I'm pretty sure you're going to understand why. Next week will be our Faith Promise Rally. We're going to be having a presentation from Builders Without Borders, highlighting the work in Haiti that we support. And then the following week, we'll have a message from Psalm 66 that I'll call Come and See. On the 25th, we'll close out with a message entitled Go and Tell. Today, we're going to start with a very basic question. What's a soul worth? What's the worth of a soul? Now, there are those who would dispute whether or not we even have one, whether there is such a thing as a soul. Those of us who do believe that the Scripture is right in what it says and declares that we have a soul, I would say let's just pause for a while before we respond too quickly, and let's let Jesus give us some insight into this value of a soul. I encourage you to turn to Mark chapter 8. I'm going to be reading verse 34 through 38. It's found on page 1567 in your pew Bibles, if you'd care to read along with those. Jesus has been predicting what would happen with him about his death, burial, and resurrection when it says in verse 34 that he called the crowd to him, along with his disciples. And he said, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Whoever wants to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it. He goes on to say, what good is it for a man to gain the whole world yet forfeit his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels. The soul is more than our physical life. It's our eternal self. It's the essence of our identity that endures forever. Knowing that, what's a soul worth? Jesus indicates in this passage that the soul is worth a lot more than we might think. Yet those who doubt that, who question that, who once again dispute that there even is such a thing as a soul, ignorantly exchange their souls for worthless things. The pursuit of riches, power, fleeting popularity, temporary pleasure, surface relationships. Believing this life is all there is, believing that whatever they can take hold of, whatever joy or pleasure they can find in the now is all there is, they exchange so often that which is eternal for that which is temporary. In Luke 12, Jesus tells this parable. He says there that the ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. And he thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, this is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store up all my grain and my goods. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool. This very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? And Jesus says, this is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself, but is not rich toward God. So the man in the parable spent his life amassing fortune, only to die unexpectedly and leave it all behind. And Jesus says, well, now who's going to get what you worked so hard to get for yourself? Who's going to benefit from that? Who? Would you consider that a waste? Some would say, no, I'm going to leave it all to my kids or to my grandkids or to my great-grandkids. But is that really the most valuable thing you could leave them? Is possessions, material things? We might expect that that's what people would think who don't understand the value of a soul. But we here, we understand, don't we? We believe in the soul. We believe in the eternal nature of the soul. We believe that it's valuable, right? It's incredibly valuable. It's more valuable than anything in this world, right? We believe that. We understand that. The value of a soul. Consider a single soul for a minute. What would you consider the value of the soul of your spouse to be? Or your children? Or your grandchildren? What about the souls of your parents? Or your neighbors? Or your best friends? What are they worth? What would you give in exchange for them? Wasn't that Jesus' question? What would you sell them for? What would you give them up for? God's word indicates that the soul is so valuable that he paid the price of his own son's life to redeem them, to purchase them for himself for eternity. Perhaps you've seen Steven Spielberg's film Schindler's List. It's a dramatic account of one of the darkest periods in human history. It was in 1941 when the final solution to exterminate all the Jews, Gypsies, and other impure groups in Europe was implemented. The Nazis violently evacuated Jews from the ghettos, sending them to Auschwitz, Treblinka, and other death camps to face the gas chambers. Bodies of the murdered were cremated in large ovens. Often the sky above was black with smoke, and many times human ashes rained down like snow. It was during this bleak and terrifying period that Oskar Schindler, a war profiteer and a womanizer, had a change of heart. His conviction moved him to use his fortune to bribe Gestapo officials and Nazi generals to gain permits to build a camp on the side of his factory to house Jewish workers. He even had the camp surrounded by barbed wire and put up watchtowers to provide refuge for those in his employ. He protected his workforce in this Krakow from the Nazis. But he also provided for all of their needs. He bought food, clothing, and medical supplies for them, often from the black market because the Nazis would not allow for the Jews to have the very necessities just to survive. The German forces intervened more than once. They even arrested him a time or two, but he always managed to buy his way out. He knew which palms to cross with silver to be released. And each time he continued to keep up the work of protecting and providing for his workers. There were over 1,000 Jews in his employ. They came to call themselves the Schindler Jews. Given that the Nazis killed millions of people during the Holocaust, 1,000 people, that might seem pretty insignificant. Or actually 1,100 of them. Unique, special people. All of which who would have ceased to exist if not for Shinar. They produced over 6,000 descendants. Despite the overwhelming scale of the Holocaust as a whole, the powerful story of this man who risked his life and his wealth to save their lives has endured. I've added some closed captions to the closing scenes.
Hebrew from the Talmud, it says, whoever saves one life saves the world entire.
No idea. If I just...
There will be generations because of what you did.
I didn't do enough.
You did so much.
This car. Gert would have bought this car. Why did I keep the car? 10 people right there. 10 people. 10 more people. This pin. 2 people. This is gold. 2 more people. He would have given me 2 for it. At least 1. He would have given me 1. 1 more. 1 more person. Person, Stan. For this. I could have got 1 more person. And I didn't. I didn't.
I wonder if we'll ever be so convicted as Shinar was. Will there be a time when we're going to bitterly weep over all that we have wasted? Well, people could have been saved. Next week is our Faith Promise Sunday. We're being challenged to pray and then to pledge what we'll give towards missions. We're challenging everyone to do their part, to do what they can. How? Well, I've run the frequently asked questions about faith promise in the bulletin for several weeks now. In it, I suggest we might have increased income. We might make a pledge that we're going to give so much to missions, that we're going to step out in faith and do that, and we're not sure exactly how we might meet that commitment, but we might have some increased income. We might be believing that. We might be hoping for that. The reality is we all hope for that. We might get a raise. We might get a new job. That there might be some windfall come from somewhere that will enable us to have more to do more with. Yet, be honest with yourself. If that happens, have you already decided in your heart that you're going to give it to missions? You'll give some of it, a percentage of it to missions? Or are you thinking about, boy, what you can do with it for your own comfort? As I watched the film clip, and I've watched it several times, it took a while for me to get the closed captions in, and I wept every time. I couldn't help think about the other options that I present in the bulletin insert. Maybe we could have decreased expenses. Is there a commitment that I'll be done with this year that could free up some money? And if so, have I made plans about what I'm going to do with that? Could I cut some current costs, my budget? Could I make some sacrifices to get more to missions? If you're like me, you may think, well, there's not much I can trim. But then again, how much do I waste? How much do I spend on my own personal comfort? Could I reduce my cable bill a bit? Could I eat out less? Could I take fewer weekend excursions or plan a vacation that's a little less extravagant? Might I be able to put off buying that new car, that appliance, or that electronic gadget a few more months? Even another year? Oh, and I know that there are times when something cannot be repaired, something must be replaced. And we need to do that. But sometimes, isn't it true that we just want something newer? Something with a few more bells and whistles, something a little nicer, something like the Joneses down the street have. Do I have something that at the end of time I'm going to regret that I held on to? Maybe you are a person again who has seriously prayed about this, examined that already, and you know, there's just nowhere else to come up with it. Another penny, another dime for missions. I just can't do it. Then pray and ask God about your time and your energy and your talent. Can you give more of that? Can you devote some of that? I mean, after all, what we're talking about here is saving souls. And what's more valuable than that? And besides, if Jesus comes back as soon as I hope he will, and as soon as so many of you have indicated you hope he will, we're not going to need any of it anyway, are we? And none of it is going to matter. None of it will be of eternal consequences, will it? All that's going to matter is Jesus' list. That's all that's going to matter. Who's on his list? I'd like to believe that every one of you here have accepted Jesus as your Savior and your Lord, and you're on that list. You are on that list. You have been saved. You've been rescued. You've been redeemed. If so, he deserves to be honored, don't you think? But the way we honor him is not just by saying, oh, look what Jesus did for me, but by doing what he told us to do for others. If the story of Schindler remains after all these years, certainly the story of Jesus needs to remain, amen? And be declared from the rooftops. The people need to hear about Jesus. They need to hear about what he's done for them, what he's willing to do for them. Because you know what? He didn't hold anything back. He gave it all. He paid it all. So that they might be saved. It is us a responsibility. Not just to go to announce to them that he paid it all, but to announce to them that this opportunity is there for them. They can sign on. They can be part of this community of people who will be saved forever. At the end of the day, nothing else will matter. The film closed out with Schindler leaving because he was about to be abducted himself. And those people, again, he had saved, wanted him to be saved. I couldn't help but think, if that were me, and it's my last opportunity, I've done all that I could do, and I'm leaving, what regrets will I have? Well, I'd be saying, could have been one more person. One more person. I pray not. May we pledge not only our monies, but ourselves to the effort of soul saving. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he's decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able, listen to this, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it's written, he scattered abroad his gifts to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed, and will increase the harvest of your righteousness. You'll be made rich in every way, so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. You hear that? God is saying when we give to his work, he'll take care of us. He'll not just take care of us. He'll make sure that we have not only what we need, but more than what we need so that we can give more to the needs of others. And there is no greater need in the world than for people to hear about Jesus. No greater need. Amen, church? Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, I want to thank you in Jesus' name for your goodness, your grace, your mercy, for all Jesus did for us. And Father, we praise you for that, but help us to understand that we've been saved not just to go to heaven, we've been saved, Father, to share with others the good news about what Jesus has done for us and for them so that they too might be saved. Give us a heart, Father, for that. If there's anyone here today, God, who doesn't yet know your Son, I pray that at least we can say with certainty they've heard about him. That he is your Son, your one and only Son, gave up everything to come to this earth to live among men and then to die that men might be saved. That they would know there is one who would be their Savior and their Lord. Father, may that be our call to tell others about the good news of Jesus. Thank you, God. We praise you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.